This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's astounding but true. As we wrap up the year 2025 and approach 2026, persecution is mounting all across the world. It is quite amazing, friends. You don't hear about it in the news, hardly at all. But it is happening, and in fact, it's the Western world, largely in the news media, that don't talk about it. Oh, they'll talk about anybody that maligns Islam, but they won't talk about those that malign the Christian faith. They'll even talk about those that are persecuting Jewish people under the name anti-Semitism. But in terms of talking about those that are persecuting Christians, not so much. Why is that? Well, the reason is because Christians are becoming increasingly the odd man out in society, all across the world. In the Western world, in the Eastern world, in the Southern world, in the Northern world, all across the world, Christians are becoming the odd man out. And that's exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Why do you think you should be different than your Lord? Persecution takes many, many forms. In the West, particularly in the United States of America, it generally takes the place of, well, in the civil realm, coming against businesses and so on, and trying to shut down businesses, trying to keep people from opening their businesses if they don't agree to homosexual marriage or agree to enjoy and practice and promote transgenderism and so on. Well, that's in the Western world. But in other places of the world, it is not nearly that friendly, if you can call that friendly. It's not friendly for those that are losing their businesses and losing their livelihoods and are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to defend themselves. That's not a nice feeling at all. But on the other hand, this is happening everywhere. And I want to share with you as we wrap up the year today, we're beginning to wrap up the year here as we've entered the 12th month of 2025. What is really happening in a very collective way across the country and around the world. And I hope you'll, as you listen to these reports, you will see how pervasive this issue is. And what's fascinating is, in reality, nobody wants to hear it. Do I want to hear it? No, I don't want to hear it. Do you want to hear it? No, you don't want to hear it. But don't close your ears and don't close your eyes and don't close your heart to hearing it, because Jesus said in these perilous times that this is exactly what was going to happen. And he wanted you to know, he wanted all of us who profess his name to know what would happen and why. So he guaranteed persecution. In John 15, he said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute. The Apostle Paul said that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He didn't say some. He didn't say many. He said all. So in this day and age, if we are not living godly in Christ Jesus, we're not likely to be suffering persecution. But if you are living godly in Christ Jesus, you are likely, if not now, soon to be suffering some form of persecution. And it's getting more viral, more vitriolic everywhere in the world. Yes, including the Western world. So today we're going to talk about that. Sheep in the midst of wolves, friends. Sheep in the midst of wolves. As I said, persecution was promised by Jesus, the Messiah and Lord of his church, and made it clear for all his followers. He said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You see, Jesus wanted the 12, his disciples, all and all who would follow in their footsteps, to be consciously aware of the cost of discipleship. of which cost he had continuously reminded them. Remember, he said to them, remember the word that I said to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So why does persecution come? What are the reasons for persecution? Well, interestingly, the Bible says very clearly why it comes. In summary, it comes for his name's sake. It comes for his word's sake. It comes for his kingdom's sake. And it comes for his Father's sake. All of those are quotes from Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, John chapter 10, and John chapter 15. So, it's not a mystery. It really isn't a mystery if we want to know. We just don't want to know. But why don't we want to know? Well, because it's not comfortable. Truly, it's not comfortable. But if we really had understood and been taught from the get-go what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we would have known that it didn't mean we were going to lay on a bed of roses. It didn't mean that it was going to be Comfort City. It meant, well, that you would face persecution. So Jesus said, all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And there's something about that name, friends. There's something about the name of Jesus. It's not the name of God, it's the name of Jesus that they don't like. See, persecution arises because of the name of God, the Father, ascribed to his Son, Jesus, Yeshua, as the Word made flesh. And that's why. That's why we suffer persecution. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus or Yeshua, every knee should bow and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, even the Jews, they do not believe or receive the name above every name. They deem it blasphemy, claiming it is belief in more than one God in defiance of the Torah, which affirms Jehovah our God is one. So, the elders of Israel envy the name and authority it represents. They do not like the name of Jesus. The Muslims will use the name Isa, referring to Jesus, but they don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, and they believe that anyone who claims that Jesus was crucified and rose again is a blasphemer, worthy of death. Well, so do the Jews. That is Jewish leaders. That's how Jesus died, remember? They convicted him of blasphemy. And so we see how these things are happening, why they're happening, but what are we going to do as they happen? That's why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. If you don't have the book, I hope you'll get it. It's a $25 book, yours for $22 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. We'll be right back after this, friends.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome to Viewpoint, my friends. Anchor the seatbelts of your chariots as we travel around the world to observe the ravages of persecution taking place everywhere. What we share today is probably covering a series of maybe 15 different countries that are illustrative of all the countries of the world. We don't have time to go into all the countries, and so we're going to give illustrative, both in south of our border, in South America, in Central America, then over into Africa, various countries in Africa, China, the second largest population in the world, India, the first largest population in the world, where in northern India is radical persecution by Hindus. And then we come to the United States. It's everywhere. In Myanmar, or Myanmar, the military set fire to a cathedral amid increasing attacks on Christians there. Soldiers from the Buddhist Nationalist Military Junta set fire to St. Patrick's Cathedral in the majority Christian Kachin state, reducing the historic church to ashes and escalating attacks targeting Christian communities and religious sites. Then, that was Buddhist. That was Buddhists attacking Christians. Then we have Muslims attacking Christians. A Muslim man stabs his wife, mother of six, to death for going to church and accepting Christ as her Savior. It was in Nairobi, Kenya. Mother of six kids was stabbed to death by her Muslim husband. Actually, it was in Uganda. After she attended her first church service. The children ranged in age from 3 to 18, had put her faith in Christ on March 21st of this year, having hearing the gospel from a friend in eastern Uganda. She was 41 years of age. Immediately, the husband started slapping his wife, screaming and shouting for help. He then removed a long knife and started cutting her with it. The attack was the latest of many instances of persecution of Christians in Uganda, Africa. Uganda's constitution and other laws provide for religious freedom, including the right to propagate one's faith and convert one faith to another. But Muslims don't agree to that. A Somali mother of three lost her home, was rejected by her husband for accepting Christ after watching the Jesus film. The mother of children ages 5, 7, and 9 says, "I do not regret embracing Christianity. I have great peace in my heart." Wow. I do not regret embracing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have great peace in my heart. Well, apparently that's also the mother that was slit by her husband for confessing Christ as her Savior. But lest we should think that that's just in Africa, here's a statement. Mom is a fit parent except for the fact that she is a Christian. Mom is a fit parent except for the fact she is a Christian. The coming decision by the Maine Supreme Court in this country will determine if judges in that state can simply overturn the constitutional religious rights of parents. The judge's trial court ruling in the dispute between mother and father is well into the extreme range, probably beyond. For example, the judge ruled that the custodial mother, quote, is a fit parent except for the fact that she's a Christian, unquote. The war erupted over the non-custodial father's opposition to Christianity, especially demanding to ban his daughter's attendance at a Christian church. The judge, a Marxist, based on a counsel to the court from a Marxist former sociology professor, the judge said the daughter cannot associate with any of her church friends or any member of Calvary Chapel, Portland. Now, Calvary Chapel, it isn't exactly. The Calvary Chapels across the country are not exactly noted for their extreme teachings or practices. And the court went on. Ava cannot attend any Christmas, Easter, or any other Christian event or celebration of any church, including any wedding, funeral, or even hospital visits with anyone associated with Calvary Chapel. In addition, the court said, Ava cannot have any contact or participation with any religious organization, which would include the Salvation Army, or a food bank, homeless shelter, or crisis pregnancy center. Also, the court said Ava cannot read the Bible or religious literature or be exposed to any religious philosophy. Finally, the judge mocked Ava and Emily's faith by purposely refusing to capitalize the word God in his decision. My friends, that is on the eastern seaboard of this country where my wife and I recently had a brief vacation in Maine. That attitude can be found in Vermont, can be found in Massachusetts, can be found in Maryland, can be found in New York, all up and down the eastern seaboard going toward Virginia. And that attitude can also be found in Virginia, right in the governmental centerpiece in Richmond, Virginia, the capital of Virginia, that once was proud of the first religious freedom statute. Now, the Congo. I used to collect stamps when I was a young boy. Wonderful practice as a stamp collector. It helped me to understand history, so much about history. Saw some of the most important leaders in the world at that time, which I've never forgotten. Well, one of those stamps had to do with what was called the Belgian Congo. That's how I understand the Congo. The Belgian Congo. It's no longer called that, but it's the Belgian Congo, because it was colonized by Belgium. Well, 17 people, including 11 nursing mothers, are the victims of a terrorist attack on a hospital in Congo. This was a hospital run by Christians. The women who were breastfeeding were brutally massacred and found with their throats slit in their hospital beds. The facility, attacked by ISIS terrorists, Muslims, is a diocesan medical center run by nuns. An Italian priest who served for over 50 years in the area said, "The most tragic thing, beyond the number of innocent victims, is the way they kill. They slit civilians' throats. They behead them. It's horrible." These massacres, he said, go beyond all imagination. It happened almost every week, and many are never reported. And that's true. So what's happening is these things are taking place, but the news doesn't report them. People in Africa are afraid to report them because they also might become the objects of Muslim rage and murderous intentions. The West refuses to report them because we've sanitized the idea that Islam is a religion of peace, as our president, George Bush once said, right after 9/11, Islam is a religion of peace, he said, right after 19 renegades from Saudi Arabia attacked the World Trade Center towers and the United States Pentagon and were on their way to attack the White House. You see, we're playing games with the truth. Satan is very deceptive. He allows us to, sanctimoniously bless other religions while allowing the Christian faith to be maligned like none other. In Nigeria, 50 Nigerian schoolchildren were abducted last week from a Catholic school in Niger State. They escaped from captivity, but the remaining 253 children and 12 teachers are still missing in one of the country's largest mass abductions. The attack in Niger State in Nigeria occurred just 4 days after 25 students were abducted in a similar fashion in another town. Both incidents are part of a wave of school abductions in Nigeria's northern region, which, by the way, is predominantly Muslim. Open Doors reports that more than 20,000 people were abducted from 2019 to 2023 in Nigeria, warning that kidnapping is big business, funding Islamist expansion. And they learned that Christians, and specifically religious leaders, can fetch a higher ransom. Why? Because Christians value life more than Muslims. U.S. Representative Riley Moore, Republican from West Virginia, introduced a congressional resolution condemning what he called the violent persecution of Christians in Nigeria and urging strong U.S. action to hold perpetrators accountable. The resolution was backed by at least 20 House Republicans. The measure followed President Donald Trump's recent announcement designating Nigeria as a country of particular concern and warning Nigeria that if their president did not deal with this situation immediately, he was going to use military force to begin to deal with the problem. So, this situation is developing so broadly that in a recent article by Joseph Matera called 8 Global Trends That Will Transform the Future Church, number one was this: persecuted churches are reimagining missions through the workplace. In regions marked by severe religious persecution, traditional forms of evangelism and church planting are no longer viable. No longer viable. In other words, it's not realistic to do it, to plant churches, because they will be burned to the ground. Their people will be massacred or burned alive in the churches, as they have been in many places in Africa. He said, we are seeing a return to the early church's incarnational model, where faith was embedded in daily life rather than confined to religious spaces. Oh, do you know what that means, friends? It means beyond what this leader is saying. He's saying that, well, they're going to use their businesses and to try to disciple others and launch startup businesses and take jobs in secular sector. Well, yes, they'll do that. But guess what? They are going to want to gather in places for corporate worship. And guess where they're going to gather? The same places they're gathering in China. House churches. Now, in our program, you'll hear talking about cell churches. From now on, we call it house churches. House churches. Because the cell churches were a model that was used also to build mega churches. That is going to be increasingly passé, because as persecution grows, mega churches are either going to conform to the world even more so than they are, so that they avoid persecution, like the three self-patriotic churches of China, or the people are going to leave because they do not find those mega churches to provide truth anymore, and they're going to form house churches. That's the reason, friends, why when I left as a volunteer pastor in one of the largest, fastest-growing churches in Southern California 32 years ago, and came to the South, the Lord said, I don't want you to start one of those churches. I want you to start a house church. And in spite of many people saying, boy, Chuck, you should have started a big church. You've got so much to say, people would flock to it. I said, no, that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to show that a house church is viable in times like these. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
What is a Christian anyway? If we're talking about persecution, maybe we should talk about who are Christians. Is a Christian one who merely names the name of Christ? Well, according to Jesus, no. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, or claims my name, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." In other words, only one who obeys the Lord's voice. And again, he said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." So, a true Christian, from Jesus' perspective, and from the perspective of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, the Apostle James, the Apostle Peter, is what Jesus said. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So what then does it mean to take up your cross? It's not an idle one-time blithe confession of full-fledged exchange of a person's previous unregenerate life for the life of Christ. No, it has to do also with doing the will of my Father, that is obedience, and willingness to suffer persecution for his name's sake, even to losing one's life. So taking up one's cross is not merely a one-time intention, but is rather a daily life-directing and motivating conviction of mind and heart, as Jesus very clearly said. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me," said Jesus, "and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and of the Father's and of the holy angels." So, what we're talking about here is we need to understand who Jesus is talking about is likely to suffer persecution. It's not everyone who names the name of Christ or makes a confession of faith or claims to be a person of faith. No, it's those who live by faith. In other words, those who live according to the word, will, and ways of the Father and of Jesus Christ, who is full of both grace and truth. You see, so we need to qualify and understand, but that kind of teaching and preaching is not taught in most of our churches, because we're more interested in building churches, adding to our numbers, than we are adding to the kingdom of God. You see, a kingdom is about kingship, and you can't have a king without having subjects. And they can't be legitimate subjects if they refuse to obey the king. So, you can see the problem. If professing Christians don't obey the king, that is King Jesus and his Father, then Jesus is not their king. They're their king, or something else is their king, but Jesus is not their king. It's a test for every one of us, friends. For me, for every pastor, for every parent, every political leader, it's a test. The test is, am I really one of Jesus' followers. Not following afar off, but following in his footsteps, right up front and personal. So, we go to more of these reports concerning the persecution ravaging our world. It's just amazing. And these are all things in the last, most of these are in the last 3 months. Many of them are in just the last couple weeks. The Nigerian president now has declared a national security emergency amid a rash of kidnappings and a priest dying in captivity. An Anglican priest died in captivity after being kidnapped in Nigeria amid a wave of abductions. He was abducted along with his wife and daughter. He died in captivity, and it was announced last Wednesday. You see how current these things are? So now you can well understand why President Donald Trump is vowing action against the Islamic radicals holding more than 250 children and teachers in Nigeria. And a Catholic priest, Chris Alar, said the crisis is far more severe than global leaders and the media acknowledge. He said that the priest warned that the death toll and kidnappings of Christians are dramatically unreported. He said the news is reporting that up to this year, 7,000 Christians have lost their lives and another 7,000 have been kidnapped. He said it's much, much more than that. The media don't want to know the true numbers. They're staggering, he said, even more than we can imagine here in the United States. The persecution of Christians in Nigeria receives little sustained attention from Western governments or major news organizations. If there is even so much as a racial slur used in any other faith or religion or ethnic group, we hear about it ad nauseum through the media circuits, he said. But in this case, where the persecution has been unprecedented in modern times, we find not much is being reported, at least not in terms of the true numbers. Notice he said modern times. This is unprecedented in modern times. Well, maybe it's because we're in a postmodern world. Maybe we're not even in a modern world anymore. We're in a world that's gone way beyond modernity and rebelled against even the fundamentals of the faith. And it's completely changing everything that was deemed normal or foundational to peace and prosperity in the world. In Colombia, bodies of 8 evangelical Christian leaders were found at a mass grave that has shaken the country. Shaken the country. In Colombia? Yep, in Colombia, just south of the border. In China, 9 Christians were imprisoned and fined over $100,000 for distributing Bibles. They were imprisoned in Inner Mongolia, an autonomous region located in the northern part of China, for distributing Bibles. They were convicted for illegally reselling legally published Bibles through an unregistered house church. You see, what China is doing is saying you either belong to the three self patriotic churches that we authorize and govern, or you're illegitimate, and we're going to put you out of business. That's China. You cannot teach. They tell you what you can and cannot teach in those churches. You cannot teach the fundamentals of the gospel, because that's deemed to be contrary and demeaning to Chinese communism. Doesn't matter. Because this is the latest. China now has imposed new bans on missionary work, claiming it's for national security. China has banned foreign missionaries from preaching and establishing religious organizations justifying the move as necessary for national security. There's an intensifying, then, the crackdown on Christianity in the whole country. The newly revised rules explicitly prohibit non-Christian citizens living in China from preaching without authorization, from founding religious schools, producing or selling religious literature, accepting religious donations, or recruiting Chinese citizens as religious followers. In other words, basically, you can't be a Christian. You can pretend to be a Christian by joining the three self-patriotic church that is basically a church idolizing Xi Jinping and required to carry massive photos of him in their churches because he is the king, not Jesus. He is the king. Then, of course, we have Jew hatred growing among young people around the world, and not just among young people, but all over the country. Anti-Semitism is what we call it. And as Tamar Yonah, a premier Jewish, Orthodox Jewish broadcaster from Jerusalem, who joined me on this program about 9 months ago, said, look, Chuck, first they persecute us as Jews, and the next they come after you. And that's exactly what's happening. The Bible said that was going to happen, and it is happening. In Egypt, that was once a bastion of Christianity, the Coptic Christians there, Egypt's Christians faced constant pressure to hide their faith. Why? Because Egypt is predominantly Muslim now. It has a population of about 111 million people, of whom 90% are Sunni Muslim and 10% are Christian. So although the Christians are 11 million strong, the Christian population faces immense persecution. Even though the Egyptian constitution officially grants absolute freedom of religion, Christians in Egypt face significant persecution from the Islamic majority. Most persecution in Egypt doesn't come directly from the government, but from the majority of the Muslim population. In fact, converts from Islam to Christianity face even greater difficulties because the state makes it practically impossible to officially change one's religion from Islam to anything else. It can also fall foul of the country's blasphemy laws, as well as experience the pain of being ostracized from their families and communities. One such case was Abdo, a Yemeni-born Christian, a convert to Christianity. He was arrested for joining a terrorist group with knowledge of its purposes. What he had actually done was become involved with a Facebook group for Muslim converts to Christianity. And he was moved around Egypt's notoriously harsh prison system, denied visits from his family and legal team. Wow. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
When persecution comes, preparing hearts for perilous times. You think we're in those times yet? You say, well, I don't want to hear about that. I got too many things on my mind. I want to be happy. I don't blame you for wanting to be happy, happy, happy. Jesus wanted to be happy, happy too, but then he went to the cross. Why did he go to the cross? Because he wanted to please the Father rather than be happy. He wanted to be holy rather than to be happy, you see. The same was true with the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle James, all of them. You see, every one of the apostles, sure they wanted to be happy, but they wanted to be holy more than they wanted to be happy because they wanted to establish God's prime goals for their lives rather than the world's goals for their lives. Rather than the exaltation of self, they exalted the Savior. So who do you exalt? You know, we sing that song, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, holy is he." Yes, it's a great song, wonderful chorus, love it. But the reality is, maybe we don't exalt the Lord our God much. Maybe it's just words. Maybe it's not reality, and especially when persecution comes, when hard times come, when perilous times come and stare us in the face, then what? You see, that's why I believe the Lord led me to write this book, when persecution comes, to prepare people's hearts for the perilous times, because the heart of the matter is always the heart, isn't it? It just is. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to face this. In fact, in his famous 1937 book called The Cost of Discipleship, it was written in German first and then in 1951 in English, he talked about cheap or costly grace. He said, "Chief grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross." So cheap grace, Bonhoeffer says, is to hear the gospel preached as follows. "Of course you have sinned, but now everything is forgiven, so you can stay as you are and enjoy the consolation of forgiveness. The main defect about such false theology," said Bonhoeffer, "is that it contains no demand for discipleship to truly follow Jesus." He points out that as Christianity spread, the church became more secularized, accommodating the demands of obedience to Jesus to the demands of society. "So in this way," he said, "the world was Christianized and grace became its common property. Grace was thus cheapened, and obedience to Christ was gradually lost, even abandoned." And that's what happened in America. That's what's happened in America. That's one of the main reasons why mega churches have been able to grow. There's only so much that can be taught. Only so much the pastors know can be said. And you may think, "Oh, my pastor really preaches the truth and peace is righteous." And I'm not saying he doesn't, because I'm sure there are some that do, but for the most part, the building of a large church requires a lot of compromise. A lot of compromise in what you're willing to teach and preach and what you're not willing to teach and preach. So you can preach the word, but not the whole word. And you can preach in such a way that people think, "Wow, this guy's really strong. This guy's, well, he's preaching about them." But when he starts preaching about you, then all of a sudden, he's an offense and I'm out of here. That's how it works. So, if we want to be prepared for the times that are coming, we have to prepare ourselves. Especially in a Western culture like this, where we are, where cheap grace is the run of the mill. It is the way things are taught. Easy believism. Come to this great gathering and come forward and make a confession of faith. Okay, so then what? Well, you became a Christian. Okay, so you were born. Now what are you going to do? Lay there on the ground and die as spiritually because you haven't been fed, you haven't been raised up to become a true disciple? See, the problem is a false understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. It just is that way. So here on this program, we try to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because we love the people. God raised up this ministry for a purpose, to prepare professing Christians for the times that we live in and the times that are coming. You see, we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. We have. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. So let's get ready. Get a copy of the book. when persecution comes. It's a very encouraging book, actually. It's an exhortational book. It really is. My wife doesn't like to hear the news too much. But when she read this book, she said, Chuck, this is a very encouraging, uplifting book if we look at it correctly. It's really helpful for us. It's a $25 book. Yours for $22. It's on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check, and $6 for postage and handling. Now, this is a good time for me to segue and call you to remembrance, if you're not aware of it, of this special offer that we're making through December 15th. So, excuse me, one of our listeners, excuse me, one of our listeners about 3 weeks ago contacted us and said, you know what, I'd really like to get all of your books. I have a few, but I'd like to get them all. Would you be willing to prepare a good offer for us to encourage us to get all of your books at a price that would make it feasible and helpful to all of us? And so we thought about it. And we said, okay, great. So we came up with this price, $150 for all 11 books. $150 for all 11 books. Now, what that amounts to is a very significant discount over the already discounted prices that are on our website. In addition to that, when you order the books in bulk like this, what happens is you are going to also receive the benefit of much lower shipping, postage and handling. So it's $6 for the first book and only $2 for each additional book. So a total of $26 will put all 11 books in your hands plus the $150. If you're writing a check, then you're going to write it for $150 plus $26, which would be $176. Otherwise, you can go to the website saveus.org. And there's a special place there where you can order that package, or you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA and put it on your credit card. We'll set it up that way, whatever, however you want to do it. But it's open only now through December 15th. Now, one of the reasons for that is we're hoping that through this, making these available, that you also, if you already have some of these books, that you will use this as an opportunity to spread the message around to people who you feel would be helped by having one of the books available. For instance, the book Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success, or Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts, and so on. All of these books are included. Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter, Out of Egypt, Messiah, all of these books, including When Persecution Comes. See, if you get this book, When Persecution Comes, in the context of that larger offer, it's a lot less, it's much less expensive for you. So, anyway, that's what's available through December 15th. And you can give these as gifts, you can, however you want to do it, you can become God's hand extended, an extension of this ministry. By the way, I was just noticing that about 75 to 80% of the people that listen to this program, at least through oneplace.com, say this is their favorite ministry. Of all ministries, this is their favorite. That's what they say. So, that being the case, maybe there are some other people out there that might want to join with you if you told them about it and introduce them. That would be another way that you could make a difference in our world for such a time as this. All right, now, As we wrap up here, in Egypt, the Christians are living under constant pressure from discriminatory laws, violent attacks, and systemic injustice. Yet in the face of such hardship, the courage and resilience of Egypt's Christian community are a powerful testament to the enduring hope of the gospel. Speaking of Egypt, then there's Syria. Did you know that Syria was once one of the greatest enclaves of the early church? That's where the Apostle Paul was going to imprison Christians. Damascus, the capital of Syria, that's where he was going. Do you know that now that Syria has been taken over by Islam, that there are precious few Christians left in Syria? And the isolation and persecution of Christians is so great that they're fleeing. Then in Sudan, South Sudan, several Christians were arrested in Sudan's city of Madani by security personnel associated with the Sudan Armed Forces. Some of those arrested were members of various churches affiliated with the Sudan Council of Churches. At least 19 Christians were arrested earlier this year. So, if you note, they say that Africa is the place where Christianity is growing the fastest. Well, if you look at where persecution is located, in large measure, it's in Africa. And it's coming through Islam. In India, it's coming through Hinduism. In other areas in the Far East, it's coming through Buddhism and Hinduism or communism. In Russia, it's coming through the unity of the Russian Orthodox Church with Vladimir Putin, who wants to resurrect the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which in large measure is what the Ukrainian issue is about and why the Russian church is persecuting the Ukrainian church. It's everywhere, friends. It's everywhere. And yes, it's moving more and more rapidly in so-called more sophisticated ways into the United States of America, but they will soon not be sophisticated at all. You see, true followers of Christ are in the midst of wolves. In the midst of wolves. Jesus said, take no thought saying what you shall eat or what you shall drink and all of these things. Trust the Lord. Shake the dust off your feet if in certain areas you try to get the gospel across and they just completely repudiate it. He tells us to flee persecution. He tells us to remember that we're dead in Christ. Therefore, fear not. Don't fear man. Fear God. The fear of man is a snare. And if you fear man, you don't even need to be persecuted. You already are part of the world system. You don't fear God. You don't really trust him. So you have to question whether you're really a Christian. But then Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. For so they persecuted your fathers and the prophets which were before you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Wow. I want to leave with that. Rejoice and be exceeding glad that you're worthy to be able to be, if necessary, persecuted for the sake of the Lord you claim to serve. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friend. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Don't delay. You see, if it's only the gifts, the generous gifts of our listeners that enable us to stay on the air, not advertising, the generous gifts of our listeners. God bless and be a blessing. Remember, yep, we're sheep among wolves, but we're still sheep. Let's follow the shepherd.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.